doing? This is Black Shy Guy here. Welcome to another Chi-Town episode. And as always, I really appreciate the support. Make sure you get your drink because we have a Chi-Town weekend reaction right here. The first ever weekend reaction, which is what I'm going to be doing after the weekend. So once again, I have developed something to do to add to the playlist on my YouTube channel that you can check out. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit your notification button and also hit the like button. I'm tired of saying that. I'm tired of saying that, you people. You know what I mean? Tired of it. Anyway, as always, thank you for sitting at my table. This weekend was crazy. This weekend was chaotic. This weekend was freaking pandemonium. It was pandemonium. I mean, Whaley's match was interesting. Whaley's match was really interesting. I really enjoyed UFC 300. It was great. Whaley's match, though, I have to admit it, it was a freaking really good fight. But damn, that was kind of weird. The first round, Yan looked like she was out already. I mean, the fact that she got through that and continued the fight was highly remarkable. Praise her bravery getting through that because she was literally out. She was literally out. I don't know if being knocked out is the same as being choked out. I don't know if your body reacts the same if you're all there in the next round. But I'm assuming that being knocked out is worse than being choked out. So the fact that she was able to come back in that match and give Whaley a run for her money, because Whaley had that match. Whaley once again proved that she is definitely the strawweight champion in that division so far. And there's no way she's going to get close to losing that freaking belt in the next fight. Because the reason I wanted freaking Andrea to lose that fight. The reason I wanted Andrea to lose that fight, because I do not want her for the title contention. I do not want to see another Whaley dominating Jessica Andrea in that fight. Like the way she dominated her the first time they fought. It was freaking crazy dominance. Whaley destroyed her. I do not want to see another fight. I do not want to see another Whaley Andrea fight. I don't. I really don't. But I enjoyed Whaley. I'm glad Whaley won. I'm really happy for her. She's a very, very genuine, lovable person. She's just so easily likable. She's just a likable person. So big ups to Whaley. As we go on to discuss Alex Pierre, that fight was really good. I mean, I know I can't show. I wish I could show at least a little bit of footage. But in my last UFC coverage, like I told you guys, I got flagged on that. I really got flagged on that. I can't believe it. I got flagged by going over the UFC weighting. I just got copywritten. It's just so ridiculous, man. I don't know why. Every time I talk about UFC, they want to flag my videos. But for those who are witnessing this podcast weekend reaction for the first time on my podcast, make sure you tune into the video that's on my YouTube channel. Don't miss out. Anyway, the Alex P fight was amazing. I mean, yes, it was a quick fight. It ended in the first round, but that freaking left uppercut that snugged him. Oh my God. Jamal Hill, you're going to be a meme for like 3 months, my dude. 3 months. And then that 3 months is when it just dies down. You're still going to get meme for the rest of the year, man. Because holy shit, this is why I always say, sometimes you can't always, I don't believe talking shit is a good way to go to try to promote a fight. The fight is going to sell itself. When you start talking shit, now people are going to start saying, if you lose this fight, this is not going to look well. You know what I mean? And Jamal Hill had to win that fight because the shit he was talking, the freaking the freaking antics he was doing to Alex was kind of getting kind of overboard. You know what I mean? It was kind of ridiculous. It was almost, it reminded me of when Joanna was doing that to Wei Lee the first time they met. And it reminded me when Ronda Rousey, the way she treated Holly Holm. It doesn't end well when you start trying to promote the fight with your antics because you want to try to promote the fight. I mean, the fight is going to sell itself. So Jamal Hill got freaking left, freaking hooked. I mean, it wasn't a hook. It was like a snug uppercut. It was like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, Alex just got it in there. And what everybody's talking about is the way he told the ref, chill, I got this. I'm going to knock this dude out. Then you could approach me. But right now, I'm busy. You know what I mean? There was a lot of good fights in the UFC 300. I mean, Max Holloway got the freaking fight, the knockout of the night. Basically, you know, he got that big purse. $600,000 richer. Woo. I mean, Holloway, can I get some of that? Can I get some of that? Huh? Can I get some of that? You know what I mean? But UFC 300, if you didn't watch it, you missed one hell of a freaking UFC night. It was amazing. Once again, Dana White has blessed us with outrageous great entertainment when it comes to mixed martial arts, and he continues to do so. And once again, UFC, I would say the next biggest event is UFC 303. I think that's when Conor McGregor comes back against Chandler. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys are waiting for that. I am waiting for that. I'm glad Conor McGregor is back. I'm not going to lie. I hope Conor McGregor wins it. We need Conor McGregor. I don't care how much you dislike the man. Conor McGregor brings fire to the UFC. He does. I mean, whether you like him or not, he brings a lot of fire to the UFC. And it's so exciting to watch Conor McGregor with his antics, with his interviews, even his fighting. If he has the same fire he had when he first came to the UFC, he'll go far. I mean, I think he lost that fire. I just don't think he took his training serious after he got really big and large. I don't think he took his training serious. I really don't. I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for the man, because there's no excuse at all to get your ass knocked out, but it is what it is. Because, I mean, look at what happened to Holly Holm. That was a really sad thing to see. I really wanted Holly Holm to take that match away from Harrison. But Jesus, man, that woman is big, man. That woman is large, man. That woman is built like a Hulk. And for Holly Holm to reverse that first grapple, I give it to Holly Holm. But, I mean, Holly Holm had a lot to deal with. Big ups to Holly Holm for being the first one to take the match to Harrison, because no one knew what she was about, and Holly Holm still challenged her. Holly Holm still took the match. No one else did, only Holly. So big ups to Holly Holmes, man. We love you, girl, you know what I mean? With your sexy ass. You know what I'm just saying? Yeah, I know how I feel about Holly. Holly is, oh, I find her so attractive. I do. But anyway, we're gonna move on to another ex-UFC fighter is an ex-UFC fighter, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm so surprised I'm talking about this, but I gotta talk about it because it is so funny. It is so funny, right? It is so funny because look at what I am going to show you when it comes to freaking Ronda Rousey. Let's take a look up at this.
I did 99% of all the media traveling all over the world, and she got to sit comfortably at home and do the 5 radio interviews that wanted to talk to her in Albuquerque. I was going into that fight already concussed and freshly tearing my ACL. My mouth guard didn't have the back to the bottom teeth. I had the worst weight cut of my life. There was all kinds of drama going on with my family and my training camp. Everything that possibly could have gone wrong went wrong. And so then afterward, I was like, well, what if it was just those things? What if it was just a concussion? What if it was just the mouth guard? What if it was just the weight cut? Maybe it was just the stress that I was going through. Maybe, you know, maybe it was just because I did all the media and she didn't. And I felt like I owed it to everybody to, like, be an example of overcoming adversity. And maybe that was the role that I was meant to play, not to be flawless, but to be able to come back. So in order to...
The excuses are so freaking out of this world. Because look at the comments here. These excuses are wild. This is more embarrassing than the losses, which I do agree. This is more embarrassing than the losses. Look at it right here. I will always smile when remembering that Holly Holm knocked her out. Me, I will always smile too, because that fight with Holly Holm, right? She's saying she was kind of partially concussed or completely concussed. I don't know what. But she doesn't want to give Holly Holm the credit she deserves. She doesn't want to give Holly Holm the credit she deserves, because Holly Holm, as you can see, was the way better fighter that night. Way better fighter, right? I mean, look at this. Completely outclassed her. Completely damaged her. Knocked her the freak down. Hammered her. Finished the fight. I mean, for Ronda Rousey not to give Holly Holm her roses is embarrassing. And now she's coming out with this book stating that, listen, there's a lot of reasons I lost the match. You guys got to understand. I was dealing with a lot. And I wanted to prove to a lot of people that, you know what I mean, there's adversity and you can overcome it by just doing the unthinkable. And the unthinkable was fighting concussed, right? It just boggles my mind the excuses Ronda Rousey is coming up with the promotion of her book. Because if she could have easily said, you know, I got beat by the better fighter that night, it's nothing wrong with that. People will actually respect you more. But the fact that you're coming out with all of these excuses now, people are downright dragging her on the internet. And most likely, a lot of people will not buy your book for that reason. A lot more people won't buy your book. I mean, because the excuses are unthinkable. We're going to take a look further. And another match she had that she's making excuses for, the match she had with Amanda. Amanda completely destroyed this woman. I mean, completely destroyed this woman. You can't make this up. Destroyed her. This is her being distraught. She can't believe she lost. This is after the knockout, folks. This is after the knockout. She's like, oh my God, I just got my ass beat. What am I going to do? Because remember, the promotion for Ronda Rousey's return was large. It was big. Everybody was freaking hyping this match up. Obviously, that's my cat meowing. Oh my God, my cat is so greedy sometimes. Anyway, Ronda Rousey's promotion for this fight costed way more than what she deserved to get promoted for, because she just got annihilated in this match. And as you can see, Amanda Nunes gave it to her. I mean, destroyed her. For the people in my podcast, make sure you tune into my YouTube channel so you can watch the destruction Amanda caused on Ronda Rousey right here. I mean, obliterated her. I really thought I was watching a Mortal Kombat match. I really thought, because seriously, I think the ref right here, look at, there's a punch, right? When Ronda Rousey is holding the gate, right? Holding the gate, and Amanda just gave her another shot. I really think that's when she started getting the concussion, because we all know Amanda hits hard. Because you guys remember when Amanda Nunes fought Misha Tate? Misha Tate did not want any of Amanda after she got hit with those two right hooks. Like, it was a wrap. And Misha Tate was like, listen, I don't even want to do this no more. She made Misha Tate retire. So Amanda Nunes continues to pummel her. Bang! You see that? Oh, my God. Let's look back at that. Look. Bang! Like, I mean, that hit right there. I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I give Ronda Rousey so much props for wanting to stay up and not go down. This is why we got to give credits to these fighters. Because for Ronda Rousey to try to hold on to the gate just to stay up, just to stay in the fight, just to give it a, oh, I give her props for that. I give her so much respect for that. Listen, I'm not taking nothing away from Ronda Rousey. She made the sport popular when she came. She made the sport popular. She hyped it up. She was basically our number 22 when it came to UFC. She was Caitlin Clark of the UFC. I mean, let's be honest. Whether you like her or not, she was. But this brutal destruction of her, bang, was so bad. Was so bad. And then, oh my, it was so, and she still stood up. You gotta give Ronda Rousey her roses for that. The fact that she still stood up, even after that, I mean, I gotta give it to Ronda Rousey. I gotta give it to her. Maybe she was concussed and right here, and she didn't know where she was, because I believe she didn't know where she was. She was knocked out, but her body didn't know it. She was knocked out, but her body did not know it. Boom. She was done. So, the fact that now that she's coming with this book, right? Talking about all the excuses of the losses she's had, because that's what they are. They're excuses. They're excuses, whether you want to believe it or not. So, let's continue with what else she needs to say about what went on in her life during the period of those two losses.
Hey, I need to try again, just so I know. And, and it was the same exact thing in that fight. I took the first touch of the fight, I was out. It was at that point I realized even though I've never been faster or stronger, I've never been a better mixed martial artist, I've never had a better grasp of the game and system of fighting, I just couldn't take that punishment anymore and keep coming. You know, it was so easy to give me a concussion. Now I'd just taken too many. And so then I had to make that decision for myself to leave. And I still, you know, take flack for it to this day. But then again, those are the people that don't care about me in my health.
It's not that they don't care about you, and it's not that they don't care about your health, Ronda Rousey. Even if it's true, let's do a hypothetical. I'm going to say hypothetical because if I say it's the truth, people's going to be like, oh, you believe, or whatever the case may be. I don't care what people think, but I'm just saying. Let's do a hypothetical out there. Let's say she was concussed. She can only handle one punch. All of a sudden, she doesn't know where she is, right? Let's just throw it out there. You decided, knowing your health was in jeopardy going into those two fights, you decided to still go into that octagon. And if you decided to go into that octagon, accept the match, put yourself in a situation to probably die in the octagon, but you came out safely, obviously, because you're still alive to this day, thank God, because we don't want none of that to happen to you, because you gave us an enjoyment, a wide joy of entertainment when you was in the UFC defending your title. I don't care what anybody says, my opinion, you gave UFC life, you did. And we a lot of us will always love you for that. But the fact that you went in and accepted that match and then lost, you bringing this up now makes you look like someone who's looking for excuses instead of just taking the accountability that you were beaten by a better fighter. That is inexcusable. Because if you would have won, you never would have brought up the concussed situation. You never would have brought it up. And that's guaranteed. I'm assume that you would never have brought up the fact that you were concussed. Never. Or maybe the downright arrogance of your character, you maybe would have brought it up and said, listen, I won the title and I was concussed. You know what I mean? But the fact that you're bringing this up now after the loss, Ronda Rousey, just to promote your book, it's downright ridiculous. And I don't agree with it. You got the biggest L for the weekend, and there's no excuse for it. There is no excuse for it whatsoever. We're going to move on because I do not want to talk about this fiasco at all. We're going to move on to, I don't know how many of you guys are watching X-Men 97. I am enjoying the shit out of X-Men 97. I am so enjoying X-Men 97. X-Men 97 reminds me of my kid days when I used to watch the X-Men, obviously. But the thing is, there's no woke garbage in the cartoon. There's no woke garbage. There's no mess. There's no bullshit within that cartoon. It's just pure enjoyment. And the last episode, which brings the biggest tear in my eye.
Remember it.
That was amazing! I don't know how many of you guys did not catch goosebumps when that happened. I caught goosebumps when that damn thing happened. I did. That was an amazing showing. Great, great episode. I enjoyed every minute of it. I can't wait for the next one. It's just, it's just something that I truly, truly enjoy. I mean, cartoons like this don't come nowadays because so much of this woke garbage is going on. And when you get a great show that has no sign of wokeness, it's just right to glorify it because we don't know when we're going to get the next one. X-Men 97 is highly recommended to watch. I mean, despite that, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is dying with what Disney is doing with it. X-Men 97, I got to admit, gives you a reason to come back. It gives you a reason to come back. I'm telling you, it does. And I just love it. This weekend was so amazing on so many levels. And I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. I hope it was smooth for you guys, is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? I really do. You know what I mean? Because I know my weekend and my week is going to be a little bit better. You know what I mean? Like I said earlier, my last episode of my podcast, I had a rough week. But it happens to all of us, you know what I mean? You can't get down on it. You just got to keep on moving, keep on striving, keep on building, you know what I mean? I mean, and as well, I mean, many of you know, if you follow my community on YouTube, I put up my new tattoo and it's finally healing. You know, when you get that new tattoo and then the flake situation starts, you know what I mean? The scabs and all of that. It's just like a mother, especially when you add the ointment. When you add the ointment, it's good because you get that nice 2 to 3 hour relief. But then the itch comes back and you're like, oh, I want to scratch it. You know what I mean? But my tattoo came out really well. Big ups to the one that did it. I mean, she is amazing. I started going to her and she is absolutely amazing and enjoyable person to talk to as well while I was getting that tattoo. I'm definitely going to her again. She's going to do my Vegeta tattoo on the back of my shoulder. People that know me are saying, how many tattoos are you getting? You got too many. I don't care. I'm getting them. All right. Especially in the summer. And then my summer fit is looking right. I'm almost there. I'm almost there to a solid cut 160. I'm so confident in my cut this summer that I might go down to 155. I don't know. You know what I mean? I might push it. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, make sure you stay healthy, eat well, exercise as well. If you don't exercise, make sure you do. Make sure you get out there. Make sure you exercise. It's so important for your health. And as always, make sure you take care of yourself and your family. Hopefully, you guys are doing well. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the notification button. Thank you for joining me for the first time ever weekend reaction. This is the first weekend reaction I have ever done. I'm going to do this every time just to react to the weekend. And as always, I thank you for sitting at my table. I'm out of here. Peace!
An arch criminal who must be put away. Another innocent victim.